the number one hit music station. More music, more variety. Welcome to The Alternative. Playing today's new country. Oh, sorry, I was just practicing. I'm Matt from Matt Fogarty Voiceovers. I know you want to listen to your podcast, so I'm going to keep this super brief. If you're a program director and you're looking for a fresh sound on your station, hit me up. I'll do a free, no-obligation sample for you, and you can get a really good sense for how I'll sound on your station. Get in touch at mattfogartyvo.com. I'm seriously sitting by my computer hitting refresh right now. Email me. Do it.
Not sure what's going on here, Matt.
Yeah, it's like we had it and then we didn't have it.
Yeah. And you couldn't hear me at all, right?
Mm. I heard you for a second, then there was echo, and then it disappeared.
Yeah, then I plugged in my headphones. I couldn't hear you. It seemed like you couldn't hear me either.
Right. So what happened is, I think when you plugged in your headphones, I think it probably took away your microphone.
Yeah, although I checked the microphone thing, and it indicated that it was on, because if I hit it, it would have turned it off.
By the way, I can record beautifully off the telephone here.
Why don't we do that?
This is the Sound Off Podcast with Matt Kundel. Broadcast talk in sound off mode.
Live to a hard drive. Big show coming up featuring Jeff Fidler from Audience Insights. You know all those debates you have about radio? The ones where people say, it's dying. And then you've got the other side saying, no, no, it's better than ever. You know the argument where young people never listen to radio? And then the other side of the argument where, no, no, all of them do. Well, Jeff has all the data. This is the stuff you need to pay attention to. Also, who loves great content? Peter Anthony Holder's The Stuff File is something that's loaded with content, and it's as much for talk radio as it is for your iPhone. The Sound Off Podcast is brought to you by Nlogic and the new cloud-based software, Lens. For salespeople and programmers, some of the most wasted minutes of your day is the time spent accessing ratings data and getting it to those who need it. And you've heard a lot about cloud-based technologies that house your music and photos, and now your station's ratings information. Get the ratings information you need with Lens from Nlogic. In the past, assembling ratings info meant loading data onto your computer that never had enough RAM. Then you had to make a call to IT because your computer, which didn't have enough RAM, downloaded it to a funny folder. There were additional trips to the photocopier and scanner, and faxing or attaching what you scanned to the email. Exhausting. By then, it's lunch. But with Lens, you can compile overnight data and deliver it to your client in seconds. No paper, just a few clicks. Let's face it, we all get the same data. But Nlogic believes that the difference is how it's delivered. Lens makes it easy for planners and buyers to build concise reports that will allow you to spend more time analyzing listening and viewing trends and less time building them. For a free trial, contact your Nlogic representative today at nlogic.ca.
Now, the Sound Off Podcast presents Remedial Media. Because there are segments of the broadcast industry that just need it.
Hey, I can't find nothing on the radio. You'll turn to that station.
When you ask people about radio, the number one thing they always say is there's too many commercials. That's been there forever. Number two, can't find nothing on the radio. Meanwhile, inside the radio station, it's...
content is king. We need more and better content on the radio.
To which I say, well, here's something that would work.
Come on now, we don't have budget for that.
Well, you could always create sponsorship opportunities, and one of your clients can cover the show costs. Meanwhile, you get some bonus revenue.
It would still cost us money to have someone download it and put it in our automation system.
That takes 10 minutes, max.
Well, our employees are too busy, and the show wouldn't be popular enough for us to waste time on it.
Okay, I get it. You want to bring new content on, but it takes a lot of time to promote and to sell and to add it to the web, and then you got to create a flash banner. Then you got to write some IDs and bumpers and schedule them all. But what's really stopping you from bringing on that guest or doing that bit or adding that song or stepping outside of your own personal comfort zone? Just remember, your employer is not paying you to be comfortable. So take a chance and just do it. Ah, yes, those words. Just do it, which I think I have to pay Nike for to say on this podcast. So often we want to toss last year into the garbage and try to zero base our lives. And that's why New Year's resolutions fail. Our goals for the new year are based on the negatives from the previous year, and it just doesn't go well. In fact, I think they call that a cycle. Last week, I wrote an article for Broadcast Dialogue called Take What You Learned in 2016 into 2017. And I reviewed all my podcast episodes from the past year and drew a few lessons. Things like your age in the digital era means nothing. Marty Forbes and Dave Marsden were two of the bigger episodes from last year, and both can maneuver through the digital world better than most millennials can. Also, radio has such a hard time changing because it refuses to acknowledge its truths. And that's why I like to have guests like Mark Ramsey and today's episode, Jeff Fidler. I like to have those guys on the podcast so we can use their expertise and their data and resources as a map to get where we need to go. Also, innovation is hard because it involves change, and change is hard. Finally, you need to forget what you know, because that information is the stuff that's holding you back. And that information is probably outdated, given that we're in the age of acceleration. The Sound Off podcast is brought to you by Pepper Prep, a radio show prep service since 2014 with over a decade of on-air experience. It focuses on topical on-air content to better your show. On-air, online, or if you do podcast, it's all for an affordable price. There's a pay-per-day option for those times you need occasional prep, although based in Canada. Clients subscribe from Dubai, the UK, Cayman Islands, and the US. Radio Pepper Prep offers podcast editing, podcast air checks, and social media consulting to better your social media presence. Sign up now for a free trial at pepperprep.com.
And now, the Sound Off Podcast presents... Yup, there's a podcast for that.
Hi, I'm Peter Anthony Holder, and I'm here in Montreal, Canada. My podcast is called The Stuff File Program, and it's an eclectic mix of interviews and odd news. The Stuff File Program has been a once-weekly institution since the summer of 2009. It was back in 2009 that my similarly themed terrestrial radio program came to an end after 20 years. Oh, they can take away the frequency, but they can't take away the show. I really think there's a need for this podcast because it brings out a variety of lighthearted fun in a professional radio manner. As a 30-year-plus broadcast professional, the Stuff File program has allowed me to maintain and grow an already sizable audience in both new media and traditional terrestrial outlets. You should listen to the Stuff File program because everybody needs a little fun in their life, whether we're featuring celebrities or quirky guests or the oddest news stories around. If you want to subscribe to the podcast, you can do so by going to thestufffile.com. That's thestufffile.com. And stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H. Thestufffile.com. Or click on the link at mattkundle.com.
The Sound Off Podcast with Matt Kundle.
Just before we get into this week's feature interview with Jeff Fidler from Audience Insights, I want to tell you about PromoSuite Next. For over 25 years, you've known PromoSuite as radio's original promotions management system, helping promotions teams and programmers manage their contest winners, liners, sales requests, remotes, prize fulfillment, and a whole bunch more. Today, over 2,500 stations across the United States and Canada use PromoSuite Next to control the chaos, reduce the paper, and reclaim the time you really want to spend creating great radio campaign concepts. Remember, every moment you're sitting around decoding someone's bad handwriting is a moment you can never get back. To learn more, go to promosuite.com/soundoff.
The Sound Off Podcast with Matt Kundle.
Jeff Fidler is the president of Audience Insights. He has been there since 2013, and he's great at research and consulting. You may have seen him at a radio conference or two. Perhaps you've seen him in the hallways of your station, or you've just worked with him directly in the past. He was at Vision Critical up until 2013. He also did 6 years as vice president of media research with the Angus Reid Group. He's a marketing and research expert. He's conducted numerous studies and consulted stations all across North America and provided strategic advice to many of Canada's leading broadcast and media companies. Now, I first met Jeff when he was the program director of CJFM in Montreal, and I hate to date myself, but that was 1993. 2 years later, he showed me how research was conducted when he did some auditorium testing at the station I was working at in Edmonton. Now, when you're 25 and you see up close how this was done, yeah, it was pretty impressive stuff for the time. We never did get our Skype to work properly, so we went with the telephone interview.
I call it data. I don't know who calls it data, but I call it data. Data doesn't seem quite as pretentious somehow.
Yeah, you know, whenever I do voiceovers, I stumble over the word, I say data, knowing full well it's probably going to get sent back and I read it wrong?
Probably both correct, you know. I really don't know. The one thing, though, that is I know is pretentious is when people, because it's correct, but it sounds funny. You say the data show that, because data is actually a plural word, right? But to say the data show that really sounds awkward, but it's somebody really showing off that they know that data is plural, right?
The study that your company did that goes back to last year, it showed that 2/3 of all listening in the car is traditional radio. Yet we're all worried about the connected car. Should we be?
Well, you know, I mean, there's still a lot of change ahead. You know, at this point, and we asked the question this year, you know, only 14% of all Canadian driver passengers say they have a car, or anyone in their household has a car that has those sort of notions of a connected car where you have access to on-demand audio. So either through Apple CarPlay, through Android Auto, or through any kind of interface like that, in-dash interface. It's only about 14% at this point, so it's still very small. But what's interesting is we look at those people and we ask them, well, you know, since you've had this in-dash technology, are you listening to radio more or less than you were? And, you know, 72% of people say that they're listening just as much as they were. 14% say they're listening more, and 14% say they're listening less. So, you know, it's early days. But at this point, it doesn't seem to have an effect. You know, the share of, you know, this goes back to December 2010 when we started tracking it. The share of audio consumption in car remains at 2/3. It's, you know, it goes up or down a percent or two each year, but it that's just a little bit of statistical wobble, but it's been totally consistent since December 2010.
You did note, though, that Spotify and Pandora, which have a lot more traction in the States, we don't even have Pandora in Canada.
Right.
But once people get used to the streaming, can we expect that to change?
You know, I mean, this is the first year that streaming actually broke 2% of share of in-car listening. And that's what where podcasts are. So podcasts and streaming about the same at about 2% each. So they've actually, and that, you know, and they were kind of nowhere, obviously, in 2010. So that there's been growth since then. But it's funny, it doesn't seem to have come off of radio listening. It seems to have come off of anything, of listening to personal music, whether that's CDs, cassettes, or, you know, your MP3s. And I think it's consistent with what we're seeing outside of the car as well, which is that streaming, and there's been dramatic growth in streaming, you know, once you, you know, let's take it outside the car for a second, but people on their smartphones, the amount of music streaming has gone up dramatically in the last 2 years. And, but again, that is, you know, it's almost all on the smartphone, and it has to do with just people spending more time with a smartphone and having the availability of Spotify, which has been around now in Canada for, what, a little over 2 years, right?
I'm thinking about radio in a default position. Does radio still do well in the car because it is the default place where it all starts? You go in, you start the car, you turn on the radio, and then if you want to add in your phone, that comes second.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, you know, if you don't have a connected car, that's the case. But if you have a connected car, your phone is theoretically, you know, as easy to access as it would be to access the radio as well. So that's why I say, even though the numbers are very small at this point, it doesn't seem to be much change going on. Now, that doesn't mean that as people get used to having those options and having more things available, that may not change. But certainly at this point, radio is the default option, whether it's there, whether it's just convenient because of the way your dash is set up, or whether it's convenient because that's what you're used to.
If you told me 10 years ago that all these new toys were coming, and it's like you mentioned choice, I would figure satellite radio wouldn't do so well, but satellite radio is doing great, and more people are jumping on board. Is that because of choice?
Yeah, I mean, you know, everybody, you know, if you buy a new car, you know, you've got your 90-day trial period with SiriusXM, and that creates numbers in itself for listening to satellite radio, but they've also been growing their subscriber base. What's interesting, though, is that, you know, the share of in-car listening to satellite radio, going back to December 2010, it has gone up, but it's only gone up really kind of marginally from, 8% of all in-car listening to maybe 10% today, even though the subscriber base has grown more than that. And what that really means is the people who are getting satellite radio now, they aren't sort of the first-in-line people who are totally committed to satellite radio. For them, it's now just a choice. It's an option, right? It's one of the things they would have in their car.
What do you see in terms of radio trends? Is the programming that's coming out of radio really reflective of the way we're behaving and treating the radio?
Well, I think the next 3 or 4 years, and you're already seeing it from what I can see, is that the audience is starting to demand something different from radio than what they had in the past. Now that they have the choice and the option of, and I'm thinking specifically people who are, used to streaming Spotify's either at home, through their Sonos system or on their smartphone, they're looking for something different from radio. They get bored with, just hearing the music. They're going to radio because they want to hear. They enjoy the personalities in the morning. And sometimes we did a focus group with millennials for the Ontario Association of Broadcasters conference back in November. And we had 6 millennials. And the one thing that was really interesting that they said is, okay, we like the morning shows, but why, after that, can't they just have people like that the rest of the day? Now, that is really different from what you would have heard from 18 to 34-year-olds 10 years ago who would say, well, just tell the announcers to shut up. I just want to hear the music. Well, they've got an option for listening to music now. What they're looking for from radio is that personality, that human connection.
There was a lot written about that panel at the OAB. Can you describe some of the reactions about what people said afterwards? I mean, from what radio people told you?
Radio people will hear what they want to hear, obviously. Back to the point I was just talking about in terms of the interest and personalities, I think that was encouraging to a lot of the radio people in the room. The question of what kind of personality they're looking for is something that I think we've got to understand more about. I'm not sure that outside of the morning show, the kind of personalities we have are really delivering what that audience is looking for when they're talking about connection. But, the things that were also apparent from that group, not a single one of them had a radio. None of them woke up to the radio. They all woke up looking at their smartphones the first thing they did. They are all, using different types of audio. Half of them, the guys, there were 3 guys and 3 girls, the guys were all listening to podcasts, and they were all listening to streaming audio of some sort, whether it was Spotify or Apple. That was really their go-to choice for music and for playlists, that's where you're competing in effect with that curation notion of radio. Spotify has some great playlists, as an example, that really work the same way that radio really works.
We were both at the podcast movement last year, 1,500 attendees. And it kind of looked like Canadian Music Week and Comic-Con had scheduled the same events, all in one conference hall. Now, what are radio guys like you and me, what can we take away from podcast movement?
Well, I mean, I think, and you felt the same thing. I mean, there was a lot of energy and excitement at that conference. And in fact, you used the example of Canadian Music Week. It kind of reminded me of the early days of Canadian Music Week when there was still a really vibrant buzz about the medium. Whereas in the 35 years since, it's become more and more about the business and how do we survive and how do we keep going, rather than sort of excitement about some of the different personalities and some of the kinds of content that were out there. So there was and I mean, that's the Comic-Con element you're talking about, but there was a lot of, energy and excitement in the room.
I'm just talking about the same wardrobe that people from Comic-Con have. I think everyone kind of dresses the same. There's lots of money being made in podcasting, yet there's no money to be made in podcasting. What story should we believe?
Nobody really knows how much revenue is being generated from podcasting. It ranges literally from 30, and this is, I'm talking about the U.S., ranges from $35 million in Wall Street Journal, I think, and as recently as last year, to, some are saying it's $200 million, $250 million. Truth is probably somewhere in the middle, but nobody's reporting how much money they're making. And even if it's $250 million, there's actually the potential is greater. I mean, what Edison picks up in the U.S. and also what we pick up through our tracking in Canada is that about 3% of all audio listening, and this is in-car and out-of-car, about 3% of it is to podcasts. So So if you take in the U.S. Industry, the radio industry, that or the audio industry, if you want to include Pandora and what they're getting in terms of advertising, well, you get about $17 billion. 3% of that, comes to something just over $500 million. So even if podcast right now is generating $200 million or $250 million, there is another $250 million that still hasn't been achieved. In Canada, if you take those same numbers and translate it to Canada, you're looking at $50 million in advertising. And frankly, I'd be surprised if there's more than $2 or $3 million being spent in podcasting in Canada at this point. So the potential for money is there, but there's some big obstacles, one of them being measurement. Because advertisers need to understand, be able to fit it into their media plan of how many people are listening and who's listening, and that information really isn't there. I mean, most of the advertising that's being done on podcasts is done through, coupon codes, the businesses that advertise can then track, on a direct basis what the sort of ROI is of the advertising they're doing. And the interesting thing is those people are coming back, so it's working for them, but it's going to take a while to really get the education of the advertisers to really understand how to use the medium effectively and to be able to give them the kind of measurement that is meaningful. And there are downloads, and yes, there are ways of taking those downloads and calculating some back-of-the-envelope way of saying, well, okay, not everybody who downloads listens, but we have this percentage of that, and here's our best guess. So it's not really going to help these days when you're talking to an advertiser who's demanding really clear numbers, especially when they're buying digital.
What's the opportunity for broadcasters who are listening to this when it comes to podcasting?
My first advice to broadcasters is take some time to understand the podcast space and the podcast medium and the podcast listener, because it's different listening to a podcast than listening to a radio broadcast. First of all, keep in mind that almost all podcast listening, again, it's part of that. If people use their smartphones more often, they're spending more time with podcasts. And again, the growth has been dramatic over the last few years. Serial as content was helpful, but it's really more about increased use and time spent with smartphones that's increasing the podcast listening. But if you're listening to a podcast and you've got your headphones on, it's a different experience than listening to the radio in your car, kind of in the background, or at home in the background while you're doing other things. You've got through your earbuds or your AirPods or headphones or whatever, you feel very much kind of immersed in the audio. So it's deeply engaged. To run a whole bunch of ads in a row is not going to help you. You need to be speaking to people on a very much a one-to-one level, making those kind of connections and working that level of engagement. It's different than broadcast. And it's one of the reasons why, apart from public radio, taking radio broadcasting and simply repurposing it, time shifting it for podcasts, is not terribly successful, because it really doesn't fit with that listening environment of how most people, these days in particular, listen to podcasts.
I do have an exception to that, by the way, because every night I do listen to Colin Cowherd, who has a sports show on Fox in the States. It's a 3-hour talk show, but it's condensed down to about 2 hours, and I'll listen to that for the last 2 hours before I go to bed. So there's a time shifting thing that does work. I mean, it is audio on demand.
Do you listen to it through headphones, or is it just audio in the room?
It depends who's sleeping next to me. So, yes, but I do think that audio on demand, there's still something for it and something about it, but it's still quite cumbersome to have to download that and put it, unless you can truly shift it. I mean, here's a show. I mean, Colin Cowherd has a show. It's got opinions. It's got guests, and it's not outdated by the time I get to sleep at night or by 10 o'clock at night. Most radio shows, like morning radio, is outdated by the time drive time rolls around. So I can't take that one to bed with me.
Yeah.
So I think there are some instances of radio on demand.
That is Colin Cowherd. Will you hear 3 minutes of spots back to back to back, or 6 minutes of spots back to back to back?
Yeah, he has I've actually figured out the inventory on his show. He's got a 60-second pre-roll of him doing a testimonial, and he has his very first block of spots.
he has about 2 minutes, I believe, of commercials for stamps.com, actually. And then there's no more commercials for the rest of the podcast.
Right.
So I think a lot of people, especially if you're going to be putting out a 2 hour podcast, they figured out that before 30 minutes, there's no point in putting an ad in. People have either abandoned the podcast at that point, fallen asleep, or they're just going to fast forward to Peter King or the guests that they have found.
Right.
So there isn't, I mean, audio on demand does work in limited cases. I did find, by the way, I'll tell you this story very quickly. And that's, we were one of the first with a podcast at Power 97 with Wheeler, Philly, and Rena.
Right.
And people like the podcast, and then I began to get the program director's sense about me to say, hey, let's cut that down. Let's only put the good parts out. Let's make sure it's only 30 minutes instead of the normal 47 or 55 minutes that we put out. The minute we did it, people got upset because they knew what features appeared at what part of the podcast and wanted to hear their favorite features or benchmarks on the show. So when I started to tinker with it, I began to get calls and people asking me, please put the whole thing up. Don't tinker with it.
Right.
So again, people like to know where it is. They want to find it quickly, and they're okay with audio on demand as long as it's not going to be outdated by the time they get around.
Yeah.
It's an awful lot of, it's a lot of work to put up a podcast just, you know, that's going to be around, you know, a few hours.
Exactly.
So there's so much data out there.
Data. Yeah.
There's so much data out there. How do you know when you're reading the wrong data?
And unfortunately, most people who are sharing data are not as open and transparent about where their source is, and that's the problem. You have to always evaluate the source. Who's putting it out? Is it being sponsored by somebody in particular? Then, if it is, then there's a point of view there that's undoubtedly going to be, put out, and it may not be that the data is wrong. It may simply be that it is being self-selected, right? And it's also good to know is there something about the methodology that, have some understanding of how they came up with those numbers. And if you can't see that information, you don't have that information, you've got to take it with a big dose of fake news salt, because you never know. These days, particularly, you never know.
What's the one thing that you're looking at this year that most intrigues you? I was going to suggest that the answer might be monetizing podcasts, but maybe there's something else.
I think there's this incredible opportunity with smartphones that radio's really hasn't really figured out yet. And it goes back to what we're talking about earlier. When we talked about podcasts, and you can't sit there with your headphones on and listen to 6 minutes of spots. But that's what we do when we're telling people to listen to our radio station on stream, is we, have, 2 breaks an hour with 6 minutes each of spots. Well, that's brutal if you're listening on headphones and you're in that kind of immersive experience. It's just not going to work. And yet, the opportunity is so clear. I mean, how long has it been since people had transistor radios? That when radio was truly portable in that sense. I mean, it's 40 years, 50 years since people did that with any regularity. Well, now people have that radio in their hands, and they are using it to listen to audio. They're listening to streaming audio. They're listening to podcasts. This is all additive to audio that wasn't there before. And yes, and we do see it growing in Canada. I mean, the percentage of people who say that they've been streaming AM/FM in the past week since 2012 has gone from 4% to 9%. But that trajectory is so much, for podcasts and particularly for streaming audio, it's so much sharper. And we really have to think about how are we utilizing that new opportunity, that new platform to create listening. Radio Player, iHeartRadio, getting apps that really work for radio and are compelling and interesting apps, I think is a great first step. But the other thing I think we've got to start thinking about is the way that we run spots. Yeah, sure, it works fine if you're, to have 6 minutes of spots twice an hour if you're driving in the car and you can go and punch to another station, or you can just kind of turn it off and talk to your person sitting in the car beside you, but not if you're listening on headphones on a smartphone. So that to me is the interesting opportunity is how do we, and maybe it's not just about Spotlight, maybe it's about a whole bunch of other things, how do we adapt radio for that opportunity of listening on smartphones? Because that's a whole new opportunity because it's all additive audio listening that wasn't there before.
Where are you going to be over the course of 2017? You'll be at Canadian Music Week?
I do plan to be at Canadian Music Week. I don't know if I'll be speaking or not. I think there's been some conversations about that, but nothing's been firmed up there. But I certainly will be hanging around the hallways. This will be, I think it's my 37th year or something like that. No, maybe not that much, 35th year. I haven't missed a year anyhow since it started as the record conference back in 1982. I will be at the BCAB conference in May. We talked about the Millennial Focus Group that we did for the OAB. We're doing the same for the BCAB conference as well, presenting some results from Radio on the Move from this year's study at the Broadcast Research Council event here in Toronto on February, I think it's the 8th. Yeah, the morning of the 8th. So there's a few things, and I guess there'll be a few things coming up later in the year as well. But it's always fun to have the chance to share some of the data that we've been digging into, because every year I find that there's something exciting in there in terms of what's happening or what is really starting to break.
Jeff, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you, Matt.
From the big office in Toronto, we will definitely see you at some of those events and at Canadian Music Week and on and so forth.
Hi, I'm Darren Harvey from 89.3 K-Rock in Kentville, Nova Scotia. The Sound Off podcast was created to inspire the creation of better broadcasting. When you advertise on the Sound Off podcast, you get your message into the ears of other broadcasters and out in front of their Facebook fans, Twitter followers, and website visitors. When you engage with the sponsors, you're supporting the podcast. There are other ways to help out, including rating and reviewing episodes, subscribing by taking the audience survey on the website or by simply telling a friend. For an advertising rate card, email soundoff@mattkundle.com.
After Jeff and I concluded our discussion, I wanted to know the negative effects of 6 minutes of continuous commercials for someone streaming your radio station and listening alone. So I reached out to Sean Pollock at millenniallab.com and home of 107.7 The End in Seattle. You might remember they were the stars of episode 23 in this series. We had Leslie Scott, the program director, on the podcast to talk about how the station cut their inventory and instituted a two-minute promise for their listeners. Sean wrote me back, and I have posted his response to that question at the bottom of the show page at mattkundle.com. That's the podcast for this week. My thanks to Nlogic for being continued supporters of the podcast. If you're in radio and love accessing station ratings quickly and efficiently, check out the new cloud-based program Lens from Nlogic. And the music that appeared in minute 3 of the podcast is a Creative Commons piece by a Belgian performer called Circus. It is available from the Free Music Archive at freemusicarchive.org.
Yeah!
The Sound Off Podcast was produced by Evan Serminski and recorded in the master studio of mattkundlevoice.com. Please rate and review episodes. It will help others find the show. To advertise on the podcast, email soundoff@mattkundle.com or download a rate card from the website and follow us and like us wherever great social media content is shared.
It's said that the more time you have to invest, the greater the return. Well, guess what? Kids have the most time if we learn to invest early. That's why I created the Cash Kid Podcast, where I teach kids and some adults financial skills they need to know on how to earn, save, and invest their money. Join me on this journey as we interview experts and explore topics that allow you to grow your money as kids. This podcast will help you become the money expert among your family and friends. Just remember, anyone can be a cash kid. You just have to learn how to become one. Get ready to grow your financial knowledge and your wallet with the Cash Kid Podcast.
I'm Andrea Askowitz.
And I'm Allison Langer. And we are the hosts of Writing Class Radio, a podcast, but we are so much more. We have writing classes. So if you are looking for live online classes where you can join a community, write to a prompt, get feedback, and get better, check out all our classes at writingclassradio.com and listen to our podcasts wherever you get your podcasts and at writingclassradio.com.